4 minutes on page 25 and 26. Just a sort of an introduction to it. An introduction. And underline some things that you remember in the book. I showed you what I underlined in your own book there. And then you get into the most of the time, you're going to spend a half hour now or a little bit more reading and diagramming. You spend at least a half hour reading and diagramming. And so you understand it's side by side. We read together step one, and then I share with John here, God's plan, John, is peace and life. And then we go back, man's problem is separation, and we talk about that and read the verses together, and then I go back to John again. I say, well, now, naturally, if I'm diagramming, I wouldn't, you know, but I would go right straight through the diagram. So I get back to John and say, John, but this peace and life is not automatic, because man has a problem. We put down man's problem. Let me illustrate. I go down the bottom of the page. I put God is on one side, man on the other, and talk about God creating the heavens and the earth and making man in his own image and so on, and gave him a will and the freedom of choice. And one day, man decided to go his own way. Ground man with a chasm and put problem of rebellion or sin. Now let's go back to third. There's only one remedy, and we read together. God's remedy is the cross. And read the verses. And now I'm back to John again. John, thank God, he didn't leave us stranded. He made a way back to him. And God's remedy is the cross. We'd write that down. We'd have our third point there. And then I'd sketch in the cross and go over how Jesus Christ died for us and so on. And then back here now, God has provided the only way. Man must make the choice. We read that. And then go back and finish our outline. Now, if you'd feel more comfortable about reading through it, I tell them this book can be read through in 3 to 5 minutes. You could read through it if you like, then diagram it if you like. I have always felt more comfortable, for some reason, reading, diagramming. It may be confusing in your mind. I don't know. If it is, read it together. Show them how it can be read through in about 3 or 4 minutes. If you can put a little meat on it, it might take 5 or 6 minutes. And then put it aside, then diagram it. Whatever you feel most comfortable with. We want to give it to them so they can see it backward and forward. Backward and forward. The simple is God's plan, man's problem, God's remedy, man's response. And how we can pray to receive him and then have the assurance of our salvation through the Word of God. Then, after I get through, going down to the assurance page with him, man's response, you see, you've got facts. Invitation, on top of page 27, you give the facts. Then you come to the invitation. And of course, on your step four here, if you go back through your tape again, notes, when you read page four, you say to them, are you here or here? Put a mark down right tonight where you are. And you let them put a mark down. Where are you tonight? And as I said in the class here, I've had people who had stayed afterward to say they didn't know. And I've had a chance of showing them and praying with them. And when I come to this illustration here, then, I get back to this, I have put a line up down through, and I say, if I'm using this on an airplane or in a business office, I give a man my pen when I come to this point and say, if this illustration is true, all of mankind's on one side or the other. Where are you? And I let them make a mark. And from that point on, if they don't know, well, can I help you? And then you come to the invitation. Are you willing to acknowledge your need? And be willing to turn from sin, open your life to Christ, and come to the prayer of commitment. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you have them pray to receive Christ. And then you come to the word of assurance over here. And usually at this point I say, now, here's our word of assurance, and we read this together and say, now, we're going to put this book away after I challenge them to share it. And after we get through the offering, we take an offering in the third class. And by the way, I wanted Gene to be happy about the fact that we are taking an offering. If you felt we shouldn't, I said we shouldn't. I know you're putting money, and we've made statements out there in the classes that it's all free. And if you'd rather not, we take one. We're not interested necessarily in going out and getting a few $100 out there. And I'll leave that with you, Gene. If you feel like we shouldn't, we'll just skip the offering. And the,
how do you
feel about
that?
I think it'd be an injustice if we don't take it off.
Amen.
The question I have, how do we explain to them where their money goes?
Well, it's going to go to the Oklahoma Crusade, who is responsible through Gene, of course, that's going to go to the Oklahoma City Crusade. It's going to go to the Crusade here to help with the expenses.
Materials and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I tell them.
Yeah.
Well, working as a organizer in a local area, as well as leading in another area,
mm-hmm.
Like working with the pastor that is the chairman for our area, there have been expenses, local expenses, related to his postage and other things that we've wondered about, just exactly how are these things budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned this, that I understood there was an offering later. Now, I don't know exactly how to handle it.
Well, whatever, they're going to take the offering, and I'd certainly take the bite out of it that goes for local expense and give it to them, or let Dan know what it is, and he'll send them a check for it. Is it getting warm in here? What's with the air?
Do we bring the offering back to you? Or the offering
one check could come into our office. It would be better if you gave us the money without handling it at all. Even in the envelopes or loose money or whatever.
We have envelopes. Who do they write to?
Yeah.
The chairman.
That's Oklahoma Billy Graham Crusade.
Do you think it would be better for the chairman or the local?
You can send it registered mail if you need to send it, or if you can give it to us.
I mean, Bob, that you do want to make a pitch.
No, I mean, after the money is received, do you want us to handle that money and send it in, or would you rather to the chairman of the local?
I think it'd be good if you saw that it came into us, and so it didn't lay around for a while.
Well, do you want the teacher to take responsibility of the money to you?
I think that would be the best.
If you're in town, can you take responsibility?
Yeah.
Don't separate the cash from my book and main fund or something so we can't receive it.
Okay.
Are there going to be offering envelopes?
We have envelopes that you'll receive from the class of
church. I suggest, like you do, put their offerings in great big numbers on the outside.
That's right.
$100.
We. Go ahead.
Mind
your
offering the outside, like $100.
In big
print.
Yeah.
If Jack incidentally takes the larger offering to look at it, he's been blessed with God to really lift the offering.
Now, we do this offering at the basically the end of...
Right as soon as we get through with this and diagramming this, we've got about... It's up to 8:30 now. We have an hour has transpired, or is, we've used an hour, and we come now to the offering. It's 8:30. Everyone has an envelope, and everyone puts his offering in the envelope. Everyone, if it's 5 cents, put in the envelope. We want everyone to put their money in the envelope. Then, on the top of the page, right after we have three lines for the name, if they want a receipt, put the amount in large letters, $5, $10, $100, as Jack suggested, $1,000.
The envelopes are going to be given to you. They were not collated in, they're separate, but you're going to get a five envelope to put the number of materials.
How do you get them? Pass them out?
They'll give them to today.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah, I've got the envelope.
Well, another question. My part's not sold, is it? I don't have a copy of that.
It's collated in the book. It's in the inside cover of the main course book. It's the inside cover. The first week. It's in the first week.
It'll be in the other series, but it'll be in this book.
Right, inside cover.
How do you use my heart?
I don't discuss it. I just say in the beginning, when we start the class, tonight we're giving you a booklet, My Heart, Christ, Soul, that has to do with Lordship. We want you to read it. ask yourself, how many of God is full charge of my life? And it's a preparation sort of for the second lesson. I tell them to read it and then think of who they can give it away to. And most people give them away and come back for more if they can get them. And it's a good one. That's right. You get material each week. You get certain material. And with the offering, what we do is tell them this. If you put your money in the envelope, put the amount on the envelope, then the ones who are counting can quickly go through and tabulate $5, $3, $1, 50 cents. And at the end of the class, we can announce you have given tonight $167.39 or whatever it is. And so we announce to them how much they've given. And
is that important?
Well, it gives a little bit of idea that these people, we're not taking this home with us and putting our hand in the till. We've announced how much they've given, and that's the amount that's going to be reported and sent to the... The idea, too, I like to give them a little idea of how much they've given, how generous they've been.
And we need to coordinate with the local people if they are going to be taking an offering.
Yeah. Now that's an instruction, isn't it, Dan? That is in the instruction, isn't it, for the...
There is an offer. We sent out 4,000 news updates to everyone on the mail. I don't even think
we got
any back.
One suggestion, if you have 300 or 400 in the class, most of you will not, and they have little bitty offering plates, you have to have a box in the center aisle. I'm serious, because the little plate will not hold for one or two rows. They're trying to start to turn it back. So, no matter how.
You know, after 30 years of doing this, some little gal in Sacramento said something that makes all kinds of sense. Rather than pass these offering buckets back and forth, she said, why don't you just have everybody hand their envelope to the center aisle and just pick them up at the end?
Well, some of them are still writing checks.
Well, they can always get that in afterward. They're going to get it in to you if they want to, and that just saves the bucket going. Then normally, sometimes, of course, with a small group, you may not have that much of a problem anyway. Now, I want to just take... Our time is getting away from us, and Dan has some things to share, and I do want to take just a little time on the interviewing and grading. The last class ought to be the easiest one for us to teach on follow-up. And if you remember in the notes that you review, I say that I'm fishing in this last class. And talk about scripture memory. We do our review, and I talk about scripture memory, and I introduce them to the navigators. I challenge them to continue their memory through the navigators. We've been doing this for years, and I hope that a lot of the people do take the TMS, and it'll be a blessing to them.
I'm sorry, but is that the end of class three?
Oh, no, excuse me, you're right, Skip. Now, you've got about 20 minutes after... the rest of the time, and you go into the counseling, and you tell them that you're going to give them the icebreaker, and that's that commitment folder, where there's 5 commitments on a page, and you tell them, now, this is important to those who will be counseling in the Oklahoma Crusade, because they will be coming and using this in the Oklahoma Crusade. And I said that the way you'd use it, actually, in your going out and talking to people, when you call on people, you see, we're going to go out knocking on doors after the telecast in December. And we said that after we introduced ourselves, we're going to give them this folder and say, would you check the box that best indicates the action you're taking? You remember that? We're going to use it in that way. And then from this point on, we would proceed. This is an icebreaker. And if the person says that he received Jesus Christ, then we're going to take him to the perspective on the back and show him again God's plan is peace and life. And here we have Christ dying for the world. But man's problem is separation. It's not automatic. We've tried to build our own bridges and fail every time. God's remedy is the cross. We show them how the cross is the bridge back to God. Man's response is to receive Christ, and it's through our faith in him. And I'd say to them, now on the television, apparently Dr. Graham presented the gospel to you, and you responded by acknowledging the fact that you are receiving Christ by phoning our telephone center. And you were talked to by a counselor and indicating for the first time you're receiving Christ. Well, I want you to have a little picture of what took place. God's plan is life, man's problem is separation. God's remedy is the cross. Man's response is receive him. So you give him this little go to the diagram with him. If he checks number two, I have received Christ, and lack assurance, which a lot of the people who call in are calling for assurance. And I know the first thing that I ask people after I talk to them about Jesus Christ, when did you receive him? And if they give me some type of a positive answer, then I ask him, how often do you read your Bible? Well, not very much. I mean, how often? Well, as I said, not a lot. I mean, how often do you read your Bible? Well, I'm afraid that I don't. Well, how in the world can you have assurance without the Word of God? And so, this is true. So many people. There's been a survey done recently by Gallup poll about biblical ignorance in the United States. And they talk about evangelicals. A small percentage, about only 50%, could give the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. About 50% could give the four of them. And about 49% could tell you who gave the Sermon on the Mount. And about 15 to 20% of the mainline churches said they're reading their Bibles regularly. Now, whether that means... And there is a tremendous amount of biblical ignorance today. You know yourself, you have a hard, difficult time getting in the book yourself. Well, you guys are disciplined. Imagine the person that doesn't have this goal and motivation. That book is awful easy to leave alone and leave aside. And so I always talk to them about... Page 2930 is in here, and your tapes will tell you clearly how to use this. When did you receive them? And if they're a little fuzzy... Tell me something, John. You're visiting someone out in Anadarko now. Your people are. And they come along with, when you receive it, well, I've been a Christian most of my life. And we like to ask him, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Well, I'd like to think so. Then can I ask you another question? Why should God accept you in this heaven? Well, I've always lived a good life and so on, and gone to church regularly. I've done unto others. I'd have. Could I share something with you that might make it very clear? We tell them to turn to the back here and talk about God's plan is to give us life, but man's problem is separation. God's remedy is the cross. Man's response is to receive Christ. And then I say, do you ever remember a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come in? He became real to you. God's Spirit came to dwell in your heart, and so on. And if they're still a little fuzzy, say, let's do it right now. Make it tonight. Make it now. And we'll just drive down the stake on December the 7th. I prayed and asked Jesus to come in and be real in my life. And so that's the way we'd like to use this. And if they're coming into town to counsel, they're going to use this as the icebreaker. They're going to hand it to the person they're counseling. They're going to say, check the box that best indicates the action you're taking. They're going to look to see which one they checked. And then if it's one, they're going to go right back and give them a little review of what Billy Graham preached on that night, putting a little meat on the skeleton. If they check 2, 3, 4, 5, they're going to ask, when did you receive him? If they're not clear, then if you were to die tonight, and if they're still fuzzy, then why should God accept you into his heaven? If they seem to be clear with the when, then they're going to treat this by going to the assurance page and putting a little meat on this skeleton. If they have received him, but they failed him, which many people do, then we're going to this page and show them how we get back on God's pathway through confession day by day, and we need to discipline ourselves to exercise this wonderful privilege day by day. And so it's little graphics to help us in our counseling. And if they're coming into town to counsel, they will use this. If they're going to be going calling on someone through the television follow-up, they'll use this again as the icebreaker, finding the person saying, show me here on this what decision you made when you called the other night. And then they look at it and they check one. the one they checked may not be necessarily what happened in them. They may have called in, you know, wanting assurance, but really, and the counselor may have talked to them about assurance, but not really gotten down to the fact that they know the reason that they don't have assurance because they've never met him. And a good counselor will probe a little bit and meet the need as they see it's necessary in that calling in the neighborhood, wherever it's going to take place. Now, I'm going to take only 10 minutes on the last lesson, and time is getting away. We've gotten into it, and we talked about the navigators, topical memory system, challenge to that. Then, we take out the Operation Andrew card, which is a part of the third lesson, and we're going to challenge them two ways, Operation Andrew. If you remember, Operation Andrew is a plan, number one, to get people to pray for seven people, to contact them, to build bridges of friendship, to invite them to the meetings, to stand with them if they make a commitment, and to stay with them until they're going into church. Take it 10 minutes on Operation Andrew. 10 minutes on it. Yes, sir.
Just a matter of logistics. If these people out here in Take Count for praying actually do bring seven people to the crusade, and we know that everybody's not going to, the Marriott holds 15,000, we have a 500,000 in the local area. What provision has been made? They get here and they can't get
here. Okay, we've got two overflow areas that are options that seat 4,000 each, and we've got another great hall seating 2,500. We can actually put another 10,000. And we can. But with closed circuit. But pardon? Large screen. And I, last night when I met with my pastor and congregation leaders, I got a commitment from them. I said, how many of you would be excited if we had to use the overflow area? They had their hand. I said, how many would be excited if you had to take your people in there? Charlie Graves sat right down the front kind of looking at me. But I got a commitment from them. I said, what's the most important thing that they hear? Higher percentage make commitments in the overflow twice as high as in the main auditorium, because they can see better, focus better. There's too many distractions in the great meeting. But boy, Billy's as big as a balloon there in the thing, and boy, when he talks, you can see his spray from his... And when he looks at you, he's looking right at you. That's right. We'll have a team member. After Billy Graham gives the initial invitation, the lights will go on and say, now, as they're responding in the main hall, you come down and give your life to Christ right here. That the counselor's right here. But let me give you a revealing statistic. Think about the last crusade. You know what you think about? Huge crowds out at the fairground. Huge crowds and hundreds of people coming forward. Do you know how many attended the first meeting at the fairground? 14,000. Do you know how many came forward the first night, Gene? 60. 60. In 4 weeks, we averaged 18,000 people a night at the fairgrounds. And we averaged 249 people a night coming forward. This time, we're going to triple, possibly, the people coming forward just in 8 nights. And we could well average as many or more than we did in 56. Now, back in those days, Billy was the only evangelist, and there was an excitement about evangelism that we don't have today. We've got every Sunday on the tube, you can listen to Schuller, listen to Roberts, you can listen to Jerry Falwell two or three times a day. And a good message and a solid guy. And there's not the excitement today. They can sit home and listen to Falwell, and all he's going to do is ask them to give something. And even if they don't give anything, no one will know it. And now it's a different day. And so we don't have the huge crowds coming as we had before. And you may be surprised, 15,000 may be all you need. But we do have, we're really driving people to get people to come there. And if we see that we need these halls, we'll set them up. But it cost about $10,000 to set up one of those things.
About 20 cents for a chair for one day.
That's right. See, that's 4,000 chairs. 20 cents, that's $800. Is that right? A day just for the chairs in the hall. times 8, that's $6,000 just for the chairs. So we have to think twice, you know, before yesterday.
Charlie, I think that one of the things that you've got here that you've not had before is the fact that we're doing statewide outreach that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're stimulating all the people out around the state coming to Oakland City, I think.
Okay. Well, that may help us fill the place, Gene.
You're having better percentages now in 2 seconds. The last 2 years, we've had back home in the city. Those are coming forward.
Oh, yeah, the response is tremendous, much more. And we're praying that God will give us the base, good base, and bring the people, and that we'll be able to prepare to meet them as they come. And if they have to be shunted off into overflow area, there'll be a gladness on their part and say, praise God, we had to use an overflow area. Okay? And you wouldn't mind counseling in the overflow, would you? Let's see. How many would mind it? See what I mean? I mean, commitment like that, we can't lose, can we?
Is that going to be in the Marriott itself or another place?
That's right there, you know, one place. The Great Hall is just to the left as you come in. They can take 20 steps into the auditorium or 30 steps into the Great Hall. And we'll meet them at the door if we're full and say, they won't know where they're going. Really, they go like sheep. They go into the See, hey, I came to the meeting. All right, Operation Andrew. So, a challenge. Andrew met Jesus, went after his brother. The woman of Samaria met Jesus at the well, and she went and called the whole city to Jesus. And the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus went to him and asked him to be healed, and he said, I have no man. So we try to get the people to focus on 7. They'll pray for, contact, invite, stand with, stay with. And we can get that across to them, either coming into here, or they could use them to get people, remember, to tune into the telecast in December. You remember the Double Barrel Operation Andrew program? Bring them in your home in December to watch the telecast, or challenge them to get their people to tune into the telecast. And we can get these hundreds of people in the classes praying about the telecast and really creating interest in the telecasts, then we're going to have, I believe, a greater percentage of people watching the telecast, making commitments to the telecast, and more people to follow up as a result of the telecast. But a lot of it's going to depend on you guys out there and what you get across to these people.
They bring people into their home for telecast. Should they try to counsel the people there, or should they try to encourage them to call in?
Well, I think you'd almost have to counsel them, because if you're going to call in to that number, you're going to have a little trouble if you have several phones, if you have many people. It could be a little bit of a problem, yet we have a little folder somewhere, Dan, where we have house parties, where the people are handed a little survey form, and they start looking at that as the leader helps them to, and the first thing you know, some of these people are checking that they don't know Jesus Christ as Dr. Graham has presented him, and they're interested in knowing him. Yes, Gene?
Let us know how many sets of material, counseling material you'd like to have. If you'll request them, we'll get the material to you.
Yeah.
Now, if they knew that they were going to have a watch party and knew that counseling material would be available for them to use, I expected more of them might be inclined to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to make the material available to them.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Right. Dan, we have that material, don't we, on the house.
The house party material.
I know what you mean, but we've got to be able to have the material to encourage them to have.
That's right.
But then we ask them, how many are you going to have the house party? Right. Get both of these. You'd have this right here. You'd have the icebreaker to talk to them, and you'd have this for.
They need a little instruction on how to use it. And that's the house party material. Is that right?
Well, the house party material tells them. If this is where you use in the class, you learn how to use this.
I'm just talking about the transition from 2 to real life.
Well, the house.
John, I've had the experience of counseling about 150 sometimes, and it can be done. I mean, it's not that thing. I'm thinking, being as people are sitting around there, and all of them hadn't made decisions. You got some who haven't, some who haven't.
Yeah, I'm instructing on what to do with that.
Yeah, I think they need instruction, but it can be handled beautifully.
Well, the instructions are what they're going to give you. Everybody, when they come in, they're given a little survey form.
Okay.
And he goes over the survey with all of them.
Right, that's the house part.
And the ones who bite, then they're the ones that you want to give you a little commitment folder to,
right,
and talk to them about their commitment. Then you can do that in a group.
Yeah, and the people who have not made commitment, that didn't sign the deal, man, let them go through with it.
Sure.
Oh, tremendous. Some of them out to lunch, and they'll get convicted while you're going through it.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody pray together. Right?
Yeah. You can do that. You know, it's
not work. It's what we do in class break.
It's not harming it, because they've been listening to gospel presentations.
People
are
doing
it.
That's right. Well, the house party tells them that. They've got an instruction to survey that they use and everything. Okay. Well, Operation Andrew is the second hook. I like to get my hook in these people. If I can get them to pray for a 1-7, contact these people, invite them, and stand with them and stay with them, I'm making an investment. Right? And so, use it as a hook. Operation Andrew. To me, it's a very practical thing. I'm preaching tomorrow morning at the Our Lord's Community Chapel, whatever, and I've got to give two messages, then I'm going to end up with Operation Andrew. If I can get people to definitely pray for 1-7 people, contact them, invite them, and stand with them, and stay with them, then I'm having an investment in their lives. And so Operation Andrew is a good, down-to-earth, practical tool where the rubber meets the road. And so that's a good challenge. And then you end up by staying with them, so you come into the follow-up then. And the last 40 minutes, 45 minutes, is a challenge to them on follow-up. And you've got it in your book. It's outlined. You show them the need, feeding, protecting, and training. I went over that with you. And then the umbrella of follow-up, how we do it in the crusade. You show them how to fill out the counseling card. Now, this would be mainly important to the people who are coming in there to the crusade. And you use this for the attendance slip, the counseling card, in the last week. And you also use it to get decisions. After you show them how to fill it out, then you say, okay, now, some of you, during this training class, trusted the Savior. You came thinking you were in the family, but for the first time, Jesus Christ became real to you. I'd appreciate it, just for our benefit here, if you'd check acceptance of Christ. Some of you came, been in the church a long time, but you've never had biblical assurance. But now you can say, I know whom I have believed. I have the authority of the Word of God, and I can share it with others. Check assurance if that's what happened during the training. Some of you, during this training period, God touched your life, and Jesus Christ came back into the center of your life. You rededicated your life to Jesus Christ. If that's the case, check rededicate. But don't check anything if you haven't had a genuine encounter with Christ. Give him a chance to check it.
Did you ask them to pray this prayer out loud or somebody has to pray to him stand and
pray? Oh, yeah, right. They pray it, we do. As I say, I try to get people saved in the second and third class and assured, you know, by knowing how to use it, and then fairly equipped to share it with others. So they hand the cards in as the attendance class for the third class. And then you go on to the diagram of ability or availability, just a little diagnostic tool. Philippians 1:21 or 2:21, where am I? And again, a diagnostic tool. That's on page what? 58. Christ only or self only, and then multiplication. And we fill it out when we're together. You multiply by being willing to die to self, by yielding to the Spirit, and by being willing to invest. You multiply by being willing to invest your life in the life of another, spending time with him and helping him grow in Christ. You start with one and stay with one till they're growing in the church. That's the fourth class. Now, the application form, they each have one. And you're going to challenge them to take the application form home with them. And you might wonder, well, if I'm out in Guyman or out in Woodward, Anadarko, why am I filling out the application? Because it's good for you. And we want you to fill it out. And you may be. You might want to come in to Oklahoma City and counsel. Or we want to know if you're willing to go out calling on people. We're only going to send them to the people who have applied for it and handed in an application. So the challenge is to be available to do some visiting as a result of the telecast in December. Yes, sir. Well, we tell them we'd like them to fill it out and hand it in the following week. And the commitment, of course, it is a commitment to, here I am, I'm available to do what you want me to do. I think it's a commitment of availability. And we're not guaranteeing them that they're going to get some names. But boy, if they've got that application handed in and they're marked down as one who's available, then we hope that we can send some names to them. And the applications are handed in then on the fourth week, either before or after the class is over. And I'm about running out of steam. I don't know, my throat. And I've got to preach tomorrow and then give a challenge in between my preaching. And so I better lay off. Dan, can you take them to, or Jack, we need a stand. We've got about, Dan, you need to share some things with them anyway. Well, Jack has done it a lot. Let's stand for a moment. Let's let him. Christian Life with us, quiet. At the first of the third session. You'll ask the pastors and those that you want to be trained to be interviewers to stay about 7 minutes after the class. Pastors, educational directors, retired missionaries, or men who have had experience in evangelism. There are a lot of good laymen around who've had experience in evangelism. For instance, all of you guys could be interviewers. And ask them to stay for about 7 minutes at the end of the third class. And you hand out one of these to each one of them. And it won't take but just a few minutes to go through it. Have a warm, friendly greeting, reminding them that some of these people coming to be interviewed will be scared. Now, the interviewers will be seated at a table like you're seated at now, and the ones to be interviewed will stand up in front of them. It doesn't take but just a moment or two, maybe 90 seconds or a couple of minutes to interview them normally. However, tell them to take as much time as they want. You're not trying to rush them. It just doesn't take all that long. Quickly glance at both sides to be sure they're filled in the back too. Ask about their church affiliation. And most important, look at the application for just a moment. That's the yellow sheet on the back. Number 7. I have attended classes 1, 2, 3, 4. Circle each class attended. They might circle class 4 and have been there all 4 times, but they just circle 4. So have the interviewer check that and circle each and every class attended. And then on question 8, the same thing. You're going to explain this application to everyone on the third class and go over question 7 and 8 with them, the entire class, at the end of the third class, and tell them to circle each Bible study assignment. At the end of the third class, you can say, now, if you've done the first 2 Bible study assignments, you can circle 1 and circle 2 right now. You'll do your homework this week, then you can circle 3. When you bring your application back next week, assume consent. Assume they're going to bring it back. When you bring it back next week and turn it in and get it interviewed, if you'll promise us you'll do your homework, we'll let you circle class 4 next week, even before you do it. Now, that's being fair, isn't it? Okay.
then turn application over, and top of the page on the third week, you'll explain, top of the page says, answer the following question, underline briefly. Underline briefly. Please underline briefly. The underline includes scripture reference. For example, if you want to answer one of these questions with Romans 6:23, you do not have to write out the entire verse. We know what it says. Just put down Romans 6:23. And most important of all, question 17, briefly state how you know you're a Christian. So when you're instructing the interviewers and graders the fourth week, you want to go over those same things with them. Be sure that they circle each class attended. Check line, and then say, don't flunk them out. Tell them, don't flunk them out if they haven't done all their homework or all the scripture memory. I will not embarrass you, ladies and gentlemen, by asking you how many of you did all of yours. But get a promise from them. If they lack two or they lack one, get a promise from them that they'll do it during the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever you think's fair. Question 8, can you counsel with the scriptural guidelines? Is there anything that you've taught in this course, that John's taught in this course here, for instance, that you disagree with from a doctrinal standpoint? Keep in mind that we can have fellowship with any man that says Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't agree on doctrine, but if we agree on that, we can have fellowship, we can work in the vineyard, and we'll be so busy in the vineyard we won't have time to fuss till after the crusade's over. Then thank them and smile. You do not grade it at that time, just interview them and set it to one side and grade it in between the applicants or at the end. And place your initials in the upper left-hand corner. Again, look at the application, please. The interviewer will put his initials over here in the upper left-hand corner. I don't think you need to pay too much attention to the CAD down at the bottom. Have you ever had much of a problem with that, Dr. Riggs? Yeah. Yeah, read it. If the applicant has a communication problem, you can jot a little C up there to remind you later that he did have. We've never had much of a problem on appearance. If there is an appearance, well, you can jot a little A, which is a little code to tell you that there was an appearance problem. You might possibly have one or two. I doubt if you'll have over one, maybe not any, on doctrinal problems. And if they cannot agree with what we've taught in the course, then we do not want them. For instance, if they think the man's got to be baptized before he's saved, we can't do that at the crusade. We're for baptism. But don't make a big deal out of it, and you probably won't have any problem on that.
Jack,
sir?
He may not fully agree, but the statement is, can you counsel with a...
within the
government. Which part of the tribe is not pushing on the nomination?
Right.
They may not agree with this point, but they are willing to present the gospel, cross with Christ, and the way of salvation, and let the church build on it.
Amen.
So the guys who disagree with me, they would have to emphasize the doctrine.
Right.
That would be the idea.
And the emphasis is get these folks saved, get them in your churches, and you build on your doctrine. To grade them, the interviewers will put if he wants to accept the applicant as a counselor, put a great big capital C right above the word counselor. You have one of three possible grades. Supervisor, if they are a pastor and have attended the last two classes, they are automatically a supervisor. I mean, a pastor of a working church now that attended the last two classes, they're automatically a supervisor. And tell the pastors if they have some real sharp laymen that they could recommend to be a supervisor. That means that guy can do anything he can do. That's possible to recommend him as a supervisor. We'd take the recommendation. But a big C over counselor qualifies them to be a counselor. If they are a supervisor, a big S over supervisor. Question, Gene.
I'll say one thing. As far as these men are concerned, last portion of the form has Romans 6:23 and no meaning, because in the small town, when we send the names out to the committee chairman, he'll give them to the counselors go out and make the call. The only time this would be germane to the people that they'll be teaching is if they came into the crusade. Mm-hmm. See, we don't need supervisors from...
That's right.
From
okay.
Woodward and Guyman, we don't need supervisors. All we need counselors.
Okay.
Supervisors will be provided here.
Okay, this thing with Dan about the counseling, if they want the counsel here, they must attend the meeting the Saturday before the crusade starts at the Myriad at 4 o'clock or whenever it is, you'll find out what time.
That's the only important point. If you're going to count in Oklahoma City, there is a procedures meeting, and fellas, you need to know when it is. When is it, Dan, so the guys can know?
Saturday afternoon, it's 22nd at
4
o'clock.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock to Mary.
22nd of October, Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. How long will it last?
2 hours.
4 to 6 on the 22nd Saturday afternoon is procedures meeting if you're going to count in Oklahoma City Crusade.
Where is it at?
Myriad.
Myriad.
Otherwise, the supervisors would be going to our help and we'd do the applications, really. That's the only thing they're doing.
That's right. Okay.
They're supervising the interviewing the graders.
Good.
They would qualify the supervisor if they came in to
and you'll accept anyone at that meeting that says they have qualified from an outline.
Now, he said that we'll have a system that we're going to have to work out. Probably, sir, if we just sent a badge in the mail to people, then they could come to the crusade without having gone to that rehearsal. So I think we're going to have a system where they show some, like their application at the rehearsal, and they get their badge there.
Well, you're going to receive the application, and you're then going to grade them according to the structure. If they take 100 people and accept 90 of them as counselors, then we want to have those applications. We're going to make copies of them, send them back, and everyone who qualifies as a counselor, we're going to send a special badge back to them. If there's 90 people, they get 90 badges. Their badge is going to be different than ours. Ours has a blue top to it with a white counselor on it. Oklahoma, yours was the Oklahoma Crusade, or Oklahoma badge would be reversed. And but we'll send the badge to John Doe, our man of Garco, or Enid, and that badge will qualify him for counseling in Oklahoma Crusade, but we want him to come to the rehearsal on Saturday, the 22nd. And when the person comes in to check in for counseling, we'll check his badge against our list.
Good.
That's easy.
That'll do it.
It'll take a long time to check all the people.
Alphabetical, no.
You're not going to have that many come in, fellas, from out of town.
Now, we can put them on a computer. We run the list that fast. We can check the badge that fast.
But if they pass, the only counseling they're qualified to do will be as a result of the TV ministry.
That's right.
Your applications ought to be handed in, sent in to Washington, and we'll make you a copy of Oklahoma City badge. And we'll probably use all of you as supervisors. And there will be a briefing for your supervisors in the morning or evening. All supervisors will get alerted. We would want you to come to a supervising meeting. That's a very.
Kirk, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Once the question comes up, how will I know if I get turned down or what happens to folks that are turned down?
Normally, we write them a letter. Well, normally, I would say you'll get a letter from the Crusade office in 2 or 3 weeks. How's it going to be handled here, fellas?
They'll probably get a letter once again.
They'll get a letter one way or another regarding counseling here.
Regarding what?
Whether or not they've
qualified.
They will be contacted by their local committee.
Okay.
We can tell them that either way. They'll be contacted.
Be contacted by your local committee. Now, the two things you need to know in your classes, number one is how to talk to your folks the third week. Just take just a very brief moment or two on this counselor's application. And the second thing is how to instruct your interviewers at the end of the third week on how to receive the applications the fourth week. And put two or three of these along on your tables for your interviewers. You'll need about one interviewer for every 15 or 20 applicants that you expect. In our normal Crusade classes, we have about 45% to 50% of the first week qualify as counselors, about 75% of the fourth week qualify as counselors.
Did you say to recruit these interviewers publicly in the third class?
Well, you've got somebody in charge of that, haven't they? Don't you have somebody in charge of that at each place?
I'm going to cover that with you in a minute.
Okay.
You will ask them to come forward voluntarily. You may not expect them to come forward. You will not work
any other questions? Oh, on this matter of giving him instructions. Now, one of the questions here on page on the application, church that you attend regularly. We've had some strange churches, strange names, and you frankly admit to these pastors, if you have some pastors here, that they would know better what a correct denomination is than you or I would, because we're the new kid on the block. We were down in Nashville, and I had a strange-sounding church, and I said, is that a cult or a sect? And the first church, and one big Presbyterian and one big Baptist church said, oh, no, so they're solid. We'd love to have them in our church, you know. So they'll know whether it's a sect or a cult or whether they're solid or not. Anything else? Okay, Dan?
I'll just talk to you about logistics here for a minute.
I've given you a couple, yeah. The application, the actual form, not the one you get a Xerox copy of. Charlie, we use the, or Jack, we use that second or that bottom part for what purpose? It's kind of a junk thing now, isn't it?
Well, what we've done, we've done away with that second sheet because you put it in your computer and then a list of our right. The reason we had to sell it to you is to have them out of the stadium.
You know, that might be the answer in the outlying cities. Have them keep the part of it and give us the other part, and we won't have to send them a Xerox copy.
Right. That's right.
Okay, I think that's what we'll do. Let me see a copy of that, please.
Does that have all the information?
Yeah. Okay. I think...
caution also, if they have this carbon, it's right on when it's opened up. If they'll right on when it's folded like this, they'll mess it up. I didn't think we had carbon anymore.
Right. Yeah, we still do. We're using them up.
So they'll keep the yellow copy.
Let's have the... You think that would be good, Charlie? Have the local committee keep this part and send us the top part, and then we will not have to send them that Xerox part of it. Good. Thanks for asking that, Mike. Okay, now, just logistically, I think there are a couple of very important things here that we need to pay attention to. If you'll look at this handout right here that says Christian Life and Witness Classes Class Chairman, and then behind that is Class Coordinator, and then a little bit on the class layout suggested, and Class Prayer Leader. Now, the reason, there are three people that... or three functions here that we're talking about that would be very, very helpful to you in making sure that when you show up, the building's unlocked, the lights are turned on, if there's need for ventilation or parking help or anything, you've got to have a projector in place. Most of you won't carry your own projector. Everything needs to be ready for you. So first of all, you need to get there early enough so that if something is wrong, you can fix it. Give yourself some lead time, at least 45 minutes to an hour at the first class, and then once you get a feel for things, you'll know how much time to give yourself. Allow plenty of time for travel. Even we were going out to these meetings one morning, my engine blew up and I didn't make it. And if we hadn't put the materials in Gene's car, we wouldn't have had a very successful meeting there that morning. It turned out to be a very good meeting. So always think of what will go wrong and plan to try and overcome that. And of course, trust the Lord to help you when you get in trouble, because that's the best thing. Now, what we're suggesting is that for the class chairman, that you probably need to have the host pastor, or if it's in a neutral facility, I'd say stick with the chairman that you've got for your city, and they would be responsible for the things listed here, which is just basically overseeing that there is a coordinator to help with the logistics of the class, like the projector and having the lights turned on, the building unlocked, and so on. They would be handling the ushers, who will hopefully be a couple of lay people who help distribute the material. Now, you'll end up in situations, some of you, where you are the usher. But if you can try to overcome that, that'd be a lot better, because when you're not the song leader, usher, pianist, prayer leader, you can put more attention into your message. So the more help you can get, the better. If you don't feel that you can plan that far ahead, then just count on wearing about 10 different hats that night, because somebody's got to do the job, and it'll probably end up being you. I would suggest that you get the host then and the lay leader who you've been working with to be thinking in terms of helping you make that class happen, in terms of all the logistics that are mentioned here. This is very self-explanatory. Yeah.
At least the people that you want to get the help to make it happen, do they have
right.
a copy of this?
No, they don't. They don't have a copy of this. I'll be glad to, if we think it would be a good idea, send a copy to them in the mail. But one of the things we don't want to do is for you to just assume they've read this, and then when you show up, assume they've taken hold of all these responsibilities. So,
I sure mail it to them anyway.
Okay, we'll be glad to do that.
Yeah.
And then you need to have a conference with them about this.
It might be a good idea for each teacher to mail it to the chairman with a letter.
Yeah.
And have that first.
I kind of think that if they just get this in the mail before you've talked to them, it might offend them or set them back a little bit. So you need to somehow talk to them and hand it to them, that kind of a thing. What do you think would be the best way to do it? Because you know the situation out there.
They do. How do you feel about that? Would you rather have it mailed to the people, or would you rather have a copy so that you can take it to them, or what?
Both. Well, let them mail it, and then we can also send it with a letter and communicate with that double cover.
I don't think it'll offend them.
Don't you? Well, I'm just thinking they'll read this and.
Should the coordinator be the layman from the city and the chairman be the.
I think that'd be. That's the way I'd do it. And then the prayer leader may be one of the ladies that. Usually a lady does a real good job as far as the prayer hostess or prayer leader.
The cover letter go along with it explaining why they're getting it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll send one out, and I think then you should have a couple copies yourself to give them if you're talking to them person to person or over the phone. What are you shaking your head about?
Oh, I'm overwhelmed.
I will make up some more copies and get them to you. I think that might be the best since we don't all have access to the copies. All right. I think. What do you want to do about letterhead? We've been asked by several people about letterhead. Yeah, I think that's the best. I hate to give out a lot of letterhead from the crusade. Okay, yeah, letters aren't too effective anyway, frankly.
We're only left in a week and a half, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, that's right. A letter's not the best way to handle it at this point. Okay. All right, so basically this deals with the logistics of your class. And up till now, I'm sure that you have thought and realized that somebody has to set the class up and work with it, so I hope I'm not taking you too far by surprise here. This is to help you make that happen. It's not to put a new job on you, okay? If you've got some specific questions.
What are you around for?
Oh, I just sleep during the afternoon. Okay, now these couple of blue sheets here, really, the second page is the first page, the one that says presentation technique, visualization. It could be considered even a third page. Now, all this is some. I just took a pair of scissors and cut some paragraphs out of a 3M folder I had on using overheads. Because some of you guys haven't ever. How many of you have used overheads extensively and feel pretty comfortable with them? So that's what I thought. And there are little techniques that would help, and several had asked about some of them. They're here mostly, but let me just give you a couple of them. One is that if you wanted to, you can get cardboard frames to go around your transparencies. It makes them easier to handle, and it also gives you a place to write some notes all along the edge. Now, this is all covered in here, but it's very helpful because you're looking down at your transparency, they're looking at the screen, and here you are with all these scripture references and everything, and they're really impressed with how coordinated you are.
Does that mean a frame around the frame?
No, there is no frame on the transparencies we gave them. We just gave them the plastic part. Any book supply store you want. If you want to go, it's just a suggestion. Don't let me rattle you with all these suggestions. RK Black is a big one.
Right.
Right. Okay, so the frame is an idea. Also, it's very helpful when you're using your overhead that you use that off and on switch. Now, the reason I say that is if you leave your overhead on all the time, you're going to have a very difficult time getting them to pay attention to you because they're going to be busily writing down everything they see up there. So when you want them to start paying attention to you, you just turn that machine off, and now they've got no choice. And you'll hear a few groans. Maybe they didn't get every syllable written down that was up there. But just explain to them now. Get the basics. Don't worry about every single detail. And then you have time to change your transparency. Put the other one in the center just like it should be. And I suggest if you don't have some experience with the machine, if you can get access to when you practice just some of these things that we're sharing about. Take a pencil.
and use it. Right, everything's backwards, so you never look up there to focus it or to get it straight. You work down here. Take a pencil and set it on the transparency to point to a particular verse reference or topic. Use a piece of cardboard and set it on the transparency and reveal aspects of it, like the hand, finger by finger, not the whole thing, so that you're in control, just like you would be in talking. You're trying to control the visual display as well. I think it's good if you, in using your transparency, sure enough, you don't have time to get all of this, please come to me after the class, and I'll be glad to share with you any of the details that you weren't able to copy down. This will help stimulate conversation with them after the class. Make yourself readily available. Plan on staying at least a half an hour afterward and talking. Now, regard... Yeah?
I've discovered that getting your paper lined up, it makes it a lot easier for you if you have your transparencies laid out on a table this height. I can use one of these 4x6s or 4x8s, put my projector on one end of it, and have everything laid out so I can easily get to them. If you try one of these things, you're going to find you're slipping things, you're going to have a lot of time, you're going to lack a lot of confidence. But if they're all laid out, you know right where you're going next. After you get through using it, you can throw the heap if you want to. You don't have to worry about it again. But you want to know what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have them laid out right, you get a little nervous up there. And I think we want to be men of poise up there. You know, we know right
how it's down there.
That's right. A lot of times you'll get just a very small little table that the projector fits on. It might have one little wing that hooks up there, but you haven't got room to operate. So just think through these things and ask them for a bigger table and get your things laid out like that. And then you will have a much better presentation because those things can rattle you, you know, and you lose your place and it can really distract the whole class. That's right. Be there and maybe get there 2 hours early and practice for an hour if you want to, but be sure that you're ready for it. Now, those are just some, even the setup of where the screen is placed and things like that, there are some pointers here so that if you're as big as me, for instance, you block out half the screen if you're standing right in front of it. So if you get into a great big church, let's say, and only a few people show up, well, just move over to half of the church and get everybody to come over there and maybe put your screen over here and point that direction or work in a way that will just accommodate whatever your situations might be. Okay, so that's just to help you a little bit. And I underlined this and things a couple years ago before I realized I was going to pass it out. You may not want to pay any attention to my little notes there. Now, regarding the materials. We're going to need to give those out before you leave, so I think we've got some plans here for lunch or something, but don't leave without those materials, especially if you're in the first week coming up, Labor Day week, up to the 10th. We'll want to get those materials to you tonight, or this afternoon. Be very careful with these materials. People will come up to you after class and say, my husband wasn't here, could I have a set of materials for him? I don't think we're going to be able to give materials to anybody except who's there, first of all. That'll be a little incentive. Just tell them to come next week and he can have materials. You're going to find people coming because they forgot their materials. Loan them materials, but you want it back in there. I don't really think we should let them write in it or, you know, you can't be too strict. But try to get these people to treat these materials with some respect and be careful because they're expensive. Keep the materials yourself in your trunk. Don't leave them at the church because when you get back next week, they'll be gone. They're wonderful materials and everybody loves them. And so I encourage you to hang on to them. Any other little practical things, Jack, about the materials that you could think of, or Charlie? Yeah, but don't be too overly generous with these because they'll be gone after the first week, I guarantee it.
Will there be a makeup class somewhere centrally for people?
A makeup class. The best thing I know of for handling people who've missed it is to cassette tape every class you have and let the churches handle their own makeup or something like that. If that's the question. We may have to say it's just not possible to make it up if you may. Oklahoma City, well, they could go any place the class is being taught if they want to make up a class. So you could tell them it's being taught in 40 locations all over the state.
Are we going to get a map? On that summary, it already tells where
this outline regions.
Your regions.
And I've given you a bulletin insert with the local, so you really would have access to all that information. They could go back and forth between cities easily. Yeah.
Also, in the explanation of nurture groups out there.
Well, we haven't dealt with that at all, and we're thinking about getting together again
Are we going to plan to get together again in September sometime? Have we given any thought to that, Gene?
Yeah, we've talked some about it, but I think, if we can handle what we've got on our plate,
right. Would you like to have another assignment? Is that?
Oh, yeah. Here am I alone.
Now, I think we better move ahead. Let's encourage this. When you deal with follow-up in the fourth class, let's encourage churches to initiate some kind of a care plan for those that they do follow up on to bring them in. Every church hopefully has some plan for new believers, and this would be the plan they'd use.
On the trail, I think the very first class, we need to emphasize that this is a very special course.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the culmination of about 30 years of experience.
That's right.
And Dr. Riggs, that's responsible for writing this course and rewriting it, has taught more people to be counselors than anyone else that ever walked the face of this earth. This is a very special course. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's a dynamic. Certainly life changing. Don't say it, because most folks don't want their life changed.
Right. Yes, that's right. In fact, we talk about this kind of enthusiasm. You're going to communicate a lot by the way you even present the material. So just be sure they understand what a special opportunity this is.
Also, at the beginning, it might be wise to get a little structure about what they're going to do with this, with the TV follow-up.
That's right.
Canceling the crusade.
That's right. I think if you fail to give them an overview of where you're headed, you're making a serious mistake. Now, one question that came up is, yes, you can make the follow-up visits in your city if you're qualified as a counselor. You could come into the Oklahoma City Crusade and counsel. But what about counseling on the telephone at the telephone center? Don't encourage them to do that. We will have a limited number of phones, and I expect a good percentage of you don't want to counsel over the phone. We only expect to have 50 phones there. So don't encourage these people you're training to come in and counsel over the phone. Not this time, anyway.
Is it true that the December televised crusade will not be Oklahoma crusade?
Yes, but I wouldn't emphasize that. It is a crusade telecast. If they say, is it the Oklahoma City crusade, I'd say no, that'll be sometime early next year, right, Shirley? It'll be Sacramento. Right. So if you have mistakenly miscommunicated something, correct that as you can, but don't emphasize that it's not.
Practice on the Sacramento one, and then when we have Oklahoma, man, they'll be high and ready.
Right. Right.
How will those names in their city get back to them?
When we are receiving calls, we fill out a form that looks much like a counseling form. We will send a copy of that to the local committee that handled the grading and interviewing. They will make the assignments, and the way they'll do that basically is they'll send the pastor a copy and they'll send the counselor a copy. The reason the pastor is going to get a copy is to kind of follow up on his counselor. But the counselor is the one we're going to be asking to make the visit. And there is a handout that we'll be putting together and mailing out talking about how to carry out those follow-up visits. But we have about 2.5 months between your training and when they actually have to do that, so we're going to kind of pace that a little bit.
Question,
yeah.
Does this certify them, or how long now in the future will they be a counselor for?
Right. Well, a lot of people come to the classes even in Oklahoma City and say, I've received this training in 1956. Do I have to come to the classes to counsel? The answer to that is that we want them to attend these classes because the material changes every time we teach it. I think there's some minimum, isn't there, Charlie, about attending classes if they have training already?
Well, if they've done it, if they take the training, have a whole lot of experience, they want them to come to at least 3 and 4.
Okay, 3 and 4 deal with witnessing and the follow-up aspect. Of course, everyone needs to be at that rehearsal on the 22nd.
How about television coverage, though, and people that we're trying to counsel? Somebody responds and say, Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
5 years from now, will the same committee be up there?
We are not endeavoring to set up permanent committees, if that's what you're asking. Our telephone counseling center here might become permanent if the Lord leads in that direction. But all of these committees are just temporary organizations to facilitate this follow-up program.
So December is only
right. No long-range commitment, if that's the direction you're headed in. Yes, but again, don't emphasize that. It's just a crusade broadcast. It would be a wonderful opportunity for them to do some follow. Probably May?
March.
March? Yeah, right. The first telecast we have, March, next year.
Are these available?
They sure are. We gave out thousands of them last night.
Would you want people in the outlying towns to have these if they want?
Sure. They cost 14 cents a piece, so we want to make sure they're used. I think that's a primary thought. And if you had a large request, I wouldn't even mention they're available, probably, unless you had a large request or something like that, because we don't really have them to go out that far. What are we going to ask? Okay, you as a teacher will no longer have responsibility past the teaching of the classes. The local committee, well, I'm sure you'll have an interest, and it'd be wonderful if you stay in touch with them and help in the follow-up, and if you want to, we want to know about that. But basically, we will send that designations or that interviewing and grading group the response that we got over the telephone. They will send out two copies of it, one to the counselor who will make the contact, one to their pastor to follow up on them. No, this is December. Well, in March, we don't have a plan. No, it happens to be this crusade's broadcast, but we're only looking right now to December. If the Lord leads and we go on into March and this becomes a permanent thing, then we don't know. This is a first-time experience. We would like to think that there are some great possibilities to have some permanent organization, but we don't know that.
They've had, of course, the number on TV for some months.
Yeah.
Where do they answer the phone?
Oklahoma City. It'll only be aired in the area where we've set up certain stations where they'll run this Oklahoma City number.
In the past, though, when it had a number,
there are seven stations all over the U.S. So it depends on the region where they're watching. Blackwell, Chickasha, Broken Arrow, Duncan, Elk City, Enid, Kingfisher, Guyman, we even got Guyman out there, Lawton, Muskogee, Paul's Valley, Perry, we're going to have to shift those, Perry's still with us.
Yeah.
McAllister, Pryor, we'll need to shift probably over to Bartlesville or Tulsa, Sealing, Shawnee, Tulsa, Stillwater, Weatherford, Woodward, Wewoka, I've got quite a few here from Oklahoma City, and then I've got a few that I don't know where they're from because I couldn't find them on the map. I don't have those either, so they might be added to our little book here.
Anyway, then the town he called out, we do have some call-ins already. The people we can do some follow-up on. I think in the first class, if my town is one of them, I'd tell them. I'd say, you know, we already got some people who called in, and we're just waiting for December, and we'll hit the whole bunch, you know.
Yeah.
Because then they'll know, something's going to happen. That's not bad. Let me mention another thing or two. One of them is, for you fellows who will be starting...
Yeah, it just makes a difference. And then one other thing. It seems to me that in November, after the crusade's over here, that in November, that we might should get together again, maybe here, for a couple of hours, just to go over this television deal. And then, if possible, if you could get your people together who's qualified as counselors, you get them together for just a little instruction in November before the telecast hits. I think that'd be tremendously worthwhile. Don't you fellas, really? Or is it too much? How do you feel about it, huh?
with our local deal with the
With your town, yeah. Okay. You know, the people who qualify as counselors in your town. I think we as instructors should get together after the crusade, sometime in November before the December telecast, and just take a little look at it to make sure we understand what we're going to do. And then if we get together with the people in our town who qualify as counselors and just spend an hour with them making sure they understand the mechanics of it, might make a tremendous difference. Also give you a little chance to make another further investment in their lives.
You didn't let them know that we're not just beginning.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't just left them. Yes, Charlie?
Did the captain board manage the house crying? Did you talk about how they're going to handle it?
Oh, yeah. You know, man, it...
Maybe we ought to schedule it and announce it in the last session that we're going to do that. We ought to go ahead and have it planned out.
Well, that's a thought. When would be the time? How far ahead would you do it, Charlie? Ahead of the telecast?
Well, I think the November would be good.
That would be about 3 weeks ahead. Really?
And he could talk to the scratch children to begin on Operation Anderson, telecast, and how to have a house party. Do that information for them on the house party anyway.
Well, why don't we shoot then for the week of November the 13th? That week to have those meetings, and you guys just pick a time with your people. We'll get together the Saturday before that. Let's set it up for the 12th of November. We'll just meet here the 12th of November at 9 o'clock in the morning. Is that a football day?
Yeah.
Well, it's Brock's having a conference
that day. No, it is. November 12th is a football day.
November 12th is not?
November 12th is a football day. November 13th, the week following that Agnes meeting?
No, I was thinking about...
12th is a football day.
12th is a football day. That's a bad day. Okay, what about the 19th? What is that?
We're going to meet at 9 o'clock.
Huh?
We'll meet at 9 o'clock.
The 19th
is 9 o'clock.
Right.
Well, but then, how long take you out, Norman?
Nothing on the 19th.
Don't worry about it, James. Yeah, meet at 9 o'clock.
Meet Norman.
Meet at 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8 o'clock.
There you go.
Meet
on Saturday, you're going to stay at work. We're all of us. So we'll just meet early and do it.
Well, then, I said we could meet at 8 o'clock on the 13th, and that wouldn't bother the ball game. Or the 12th, I mean, the 12th. We could meet at 8 o'clock on the 12th, that wouldn't bother the ball game because you'd be through in plenty of time driving Norman. All right, let's set it for the 12th. 12th of November, right here at 8 o'clock. We'll get together and talk about the television deal, and then you can set up the deal with your town for that following week. Yeah, Danny.
The question will arise, what do you do with your attendance slips? We would like for you to give up all your attendance slips from the first three classes when you give us the offer for the third class. The cards with decisions on it, we will let the local committee have, and there may be some follow-up that they'd like to do on those who are indicating decisions.
You mean indicate the decision in the class?
Right. We probably will need to set up a system for handling that. So they don't...
Yeah, I'll have to think about that one.
But we do want the first three classes attendance slips. They can look at them. We've got to keep them, though, from abusing names that they accumulate. So we do not want to have lists circulated or anything like that.
The first 3 weeks and the offering all together. They don't have to
do
that.
That's right. There's no real need for them to have a list made up of all the names that they would send their letters to, let's say, for personal reasons, the field or anything, to various pastors or churches in the area, because that would be an abuse of their conscience if you can do it.
Yes, Don.
Did you arbitrarily change it as well? What I'm saying is, if you're asking for conflicts, I have a conflict on the 12th, and I don't know. Was the 19th
all right? When is the crusade?
Well, the crusade not until December the 7th.
Gene?
Yeah.
That's also the week of IBYC.
IBYC, what's that? Oh, that's Gothard's week too?
The last day. He's doing it. That's why I say that's Saturday.
Well, let's set the thing to the 19th then. Let's don't.
The 19th, you ask them to have their meeting in the region on the week of the 13th.
Well, but we're going to change that. If we meet on the 19th, then we're going to have our meeting there the week of the 20th.
Thanksgiving
week. I think that'll put us on Thanksgiving week then.
When is Thanksgiving?
24th.
Well, that's no big problem. You're not going to have it on Thanksgiving Day.
How about Saturday the 5th of November?
I just wonder, Charlie, if that far ahead of time, the thing would peter out in their minds before the telecast hit. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, if they're going to get at least
here,
we could meet the 5th. Then we could set ours up on the week of the 13th.
We could do that. Yeah, would it be better to meet on the 5th? Anybody have a conflict on the 5th? That'll make a difference at the ball game. We'll have...
8 o'clock again?
Yeah, 8 o'clock on the 5th. I better make a note of that.
We got conflict.
How about if we collect those
decision
cards from the 4th class and treat them like
college?
We can get
away. Ben, speak up, son. Didn't hear you.
How about if we get the decision cards from your 4th class also, and then we distribute them the same way we will the
whole like
class, and that will mean we're a little bit in more control.
Yeah, and I think that's a better thing to do.
Okay, so we'll take all of them.
Does that have to do with this meeting?
Well, it does only, no, it has nothing to do with your meeting.
Okay, we have two more things we need to do. One of them is you need to pick up your material from Dan now. And then the other one is that they've got a room waiting for us down at Casa Bonita over here to eat lunch, private room. So if you'll drive over or walk over to Casa Bonita, get the material first, then we'll eat about it.